So why does Jesus call them hypocrites? He doesn't just throw that term out there. Oftentimes we hear him say it a lot, and we just think, well, okay, yeah, he just uses that hyperbole. You know, he wants to make a point. No, he usually, actually, there is a deep, deep point in why he would say it, and it isn't just, oh, all Pharisees are hypocrites. That's just it. All Catholics are hypocrites. You know, that's, we could just throw that out. A lot of people will use such terminology, and I say to them, yeah, you're true. That's true. And there's a great saying, you know, that's true, but there's always room for one more. Always room for one more. So we're all hypocrites in a certain sense. But here, what is Jesus specifically saying? They're saying, you know, they're trying to catch him honoring Caesar, honoring the temporal leader. And then they're, oh, look, see, we're not supposed to do that. We're Jews. We're really perfect. Well, if they didn't honor Caesar, they wouldn't have had a coin in their pocket that was Caesar's coin. And so he was saying to them, you hypocrites, you're trying to catch me in what you do. What you honor, the power of this world, the Roman power. And so does Jesus show us today, too, through this, that actually that is something he wants us to do, that we are called to do. And in fact, the first reading it helps us to see it very clearly, because it says something very strange if you didn't catch it. The Lord's anointed. Calls someone the anointed of the Lord. Who is it? It's the Jewish king, right? Cyrus. No, it's the Persian king, the one who's got the Jews in captivity. And God calls him, through the prophet Isaiah, the anointed. The anointed. And it's not even a Jew, it's a pagan king. What is he saying there? Obviously, he's not saying everything that a pagan king would do, God is anointing and saying is good. But he's saying exactly what he said here in the passage, that he has been given, without even knowing it, says, you've been given a title, though you knew me not. It is I who arm you, though you know me not. It's by God's permissive will that Cyrus is the leader. At this time, the most powerful leader in the world that anybody knew, in this part of the world. It's by God's will, God's design. Again, not that what he does is all right, but that he has this ability to overpower others is by God's permissive will. It's very important to understand that, because in God's permissive will, horrible things can happen. And so if we look at it from that point of view, was Adolf Hitler within God's permissive will an anointed one? Very difficult question, isn't it? But what we're reading here, we're seeing there's some sense to that. That, again, does not mean that everything that Adolf Hitler did was by God's design, God's will. But through permissive will, he allows things to happen. So what does that mean to us? Well, one thing that we are looking at today, or what God is, I think, trying to open up for our hearts today, is to say, you know, we need to recognize how we traverse this journey in this world and don't become hypocrites. One of the things that we need to do is to respect all authority to the degree that we can. At any point that it goes beyond my conscience, I cannot. You know, when they're saying we can kill babies, no, can't do that. Where we can kill anybody, where we can experiment on human beings. No, we can't do that. Or we can take one race and say that race is less than the rest. No, we cannot do that. That is human life. Or in some of the circles today, we see animals being raised up to the human status. And no, that's not true either. So we cannot follow what is not true, but everything else proper way, respect I must give. And what's going on in that? What is God trying to do with me? Humble me. And we as Americans, pretty tough, pretty tough for us. We've had it good for a long time. Anybody who's traveled anywhere overseas to really the outside of the American tourist traps, you see what the rest of the world goes through, where nobody has any feeling of a right to have anything in the world. They have to fight for every little thing they get, even sometimes the food. They live hand to mouth that day. They're not even sure at the beginning of the day if they're going to be alive at the end of the day. Most of us have never experienced anything like that. Thanks be to God. But we can start to, I can start to think, I've got a right to this freedom. Choose, do whatever I want, go to whatever store I want, have whatever I want. I've got a right to that. That is not true. I have a gift. Without a doubt, God has gifted us extremely. What do we do with it? Do we then turn it into a right, or do we respect it and say, okay, we've got work to do. There are a lot of people in the world that don't have this. They don't have, may have it as easy. What can I do to help them and to go out to them? One of the things that I can do, and it can start very, very, very small in a sense, is just to appreciate and respect everyone around me. Okay, Caesar, our President Trump, President Putin in Russia, or President Kim in Korea. Look at the people in Korea. We could easily say, well, God is not there. Look at what's going on over there. The reality is every soul, every person that is there is God's child. Every one of them just as much having a right to heaven. Or I should say it this way, having a right to God's love as much as I do. There's nobody, not even Kim Jong himself, has less right to God's love than me. So just to see what people are doing and say, oh, that's God's not there. No, that's not right. By God's permissive will, for some reason, people can do really bad things. He allows it. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do in response? And touching it already, I'm going to love and do everything I can to lead that child, wherever they are, to the truth, to God, to the love that really was what our heart is aching for. Adolf Hitler, what was he doing? He was looking for happiness, looking for a world that he, trying to make a world. And that's the point. I can't make the world into a happy place. For it to be happy, I need to accept the things that are around me that I cannot change, shouldn't change, certainly try to work on the things that I can. But if I can't change them, I must accept them. The Jews could not change the fact that Cyrus was the lead. They're in control of them. And God made it very clear, that's not going to change soon. So where can I start? Right here, with the people around me that I'm always trying to change. Instead of trying to change them, accept them. Look at what God is allowing through them, me to suffer. You know, we are Catholic. And the word Catholic means universal. What it means is you're stuck with it. We're stuck with each other. And we should desire that. That's my salvation. And that person's faults and failures are my salvation. Why? Because I can, through that, still love that person rather than to try to have to change that person. I remember in the order, I was in a religious order for a little while, and one of the things about a religious order is you go into the order and you put up with what everyone else does. There's this little one point, a little anecdote here. We were told we had to sleep in bunk beds. Here I am, an adult man, having to sleep in a bunk bed with another man. Well, he's on the top, I'm on the bottom bunk. He's very hard of hearing, beautiful man. But he puts this thing on the bed in the morning to wake him up. And it's this thing that vibrates the heck out of the bed, and it's a bunk bed. And he sets their alarm for like 4:30 in the morning, every day. And that thing goes off from like 4:30 to 4:45. He does not wake. I get up, shake him awake, and he turns it back off, sets it for 6. Every day. And I said, Lord, thank you for loving me. So, is your husband a jerk? Thank you, Lord. Is your wife a nag? Thank you, Lord. Are your children a struggle? Bless the Lord. Does mom and dad listen, never hear me, can never understand anything? Thank you, God. Start on a small scale. These are gifts from God for me to get outside of myself. Stop thinking I can demand everything to be right in my world. That is what we look for in heaven. But we want everyone else with us there. And so to get there, God asks us to do what he does. Love us despite all of the things that we do wrong. Love others despite all the things that they do. It's by God's permissive will that we're allowed to continue to flub up and make mistakes. And that's a good thing because he could come down and put a kibosh on it now. And if he did that, where would I be?